Welcome to CABU Chapel Hour, and I am privileged to open God's Word, and together we may really learn something from it. And this afternoon I want us to turn our Bibles to the book of Psalms, Psalms 121. You see, the book of Psalms is a very interesting book because we have there recorded the experiences of the believers and how they really responded to their various situations. So I'll begin reading from verse 1 to verse 8 of Psalms 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he will keep Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in, from this time forth and forevermore. I'm using the ESV translation. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We are grateful, Heavenly Father, for an opportunity like this to have fellowship in your word. My prayer is that, Lord, you may work in our hearts and bring the comfort that we so much need, the comfort that can only come from your word. Meet each one of us at our point of need, and may your word bear fruit in our lives. In the precious name of your Son, the Lord Jesus, we ask and pray. Amen. So this afternoon, we are looking at a topic that I've really entitled as hoping in the help that comes from God. Hoping in the help that comes from God. I'm using the word hoping as an attitude of confident expectation and not a wishful thinking. I'm not using it like the word some people would use it. For example, when they say, I hope it will rain today. No, that's not the way I'm using this word. I'm using this word as the realization of that which is true and real. The idea of trusting in the help that comes from God. It's having that confident expectation that true, lasting relief or assurance in a particular situation or circumstance will only come from God. When I was growing up, I would have some rough days. Days when the older siblings at home would rough me up and make me miserable. Because our mother, she would spend most of the day at work. So I would look forward to our coming back. I would hope that when she comes back, she will be my help. She would provide the relief, the help, and the deliverance from the torment I was experiencing from the older siblings at home. And when it was more like sunset, and then she would normally come home around 17 hours, and I would just go and sit by the gate, waiting for her to come. And then when she would come, I would share all my problems with her. I would be so excited to just see her that my help has come. And as she would come, I would narrate to her all my troubles. You see, the funny thing is that it's not always she was the help that I was expecting to be. Sometimes instead of being my help, like we know most of the mothers, she would become the executioner or the tormentor. Especially when she realized that I was the cause of most of the problems at home. And I've seen people respond to difficult circumstances in different ways. I've seen people when they face a difficult time that they would really respond by getting on the phone and calling their help. And their help could be a spouse, a workmate, or some connection they have. However, the psalmist is reminding us in this psalm that we should hope in the help that comes from God and not in anything else. And the question that I would really love us to answer together is, why should you and I hope in the help that God provides and not in anything else? And I believe that you and I, as we hope in this help that comes from God, the psalmist is giving us two reasons for doing that. So let's look at the first reason. It's found in verse 1 and 2. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. You see, God, in these two verses, the psalmist is reminding us the reason why we should hope in the help that comes from God is that God is the sovereign ruler. He's the one who has absolute control. Because he's asking this question, where does my help come from? You see, the idea of lifting up his eyes and looking up to the hills has been understood in several ways. Some say that he was referring to the hills where most of the idol worshipping was taking place. And in other ways, he was deriding the acts done on those hills. He's saying, like those who worship idols, like those who look for help in their idol worshipping. For me, I will look for help from God. Others have said, because the hills or the high places would provide some sense of protection. So the psalmist would be saying, hey, when I lift up my eyes looking up to the hills, I am not looking for protection that the hills provide. I am looking for protection from God. And from there, he gives us the reason why. Why he has chosen to look for help from God. And he gives us the first reason why you and I should hope in nothing else but God. And the first reason is that I've stated, that because it's coming at the end of verse 2, my help comes from the Lord. Why? The one who made heaven and what? And earth. He's pointing out the idea of the sovereignty of God. He's saying, I'm looking for help from the one who has absolute control. From the one who is the maker of everything that we see. That's why you and I should hope in the help that comes from God. You see, let me give you an illustration. There's this fun story that when I was growing up, it was really being shared most of the time. It was just a fun story. And it was said that a young boy coming from school came around some grown-ups who were really bullying him. And then this guy, because of what he was experiencing, he rushed home to call his father to come and really help him out. So the father, being very upset, wanting to deal with the tormentors of his son, came rushing to see who these guys were. Now when he got to the scene and looked at the size of these bullies, they were huge. And he looked very small in the eyes of these bullies. You see, the father apologized to the bullies on behalf of the son. That's the fun part of the story, because he had come from home with the intention of putting these bullies in line. But because of how they looked, he felt inferior to them. And he apologized on behalf of the son. And the story goes that, and he went on to scold the son, saying this to the son. He said, my son, you should be careful to choose who should bully you, because you may end up killing your father. Now, this comical fun story is serving only one purpose: showing us the limitation of man. You see, many children their fathers are heroes. Many children, when they are facing any difficulty, they would say, if my father would be here, he would fix it. But yet in this comical, fun story, we are seeing a father failing a son. And that's a reality. Man is limited. So if you are looking for help in man, you will be disappointed. Or let me take it a step further. If you're looking for help in things, you will be disappointed. Because even things of this world are limited. For example, money cannot mend a broken heart. There are many people who have a lot of wealth, but yet they are aching inside their heart. Money cannot bring back life. Money cannot bring you happiness. So the things of this world, like the psalmist is saying, you see, for me, when I'm hoping for help, I'm not looking at anything else. I am looking at God to provide that help for me, because He is the maker of the heaven and the earth. He has absolute control. He is in charge. He is powerful. Nothing is too hard for Him. You see, that's what the psalmist would even say in Psalm 56, verse 4. Look at what the psalmist is saying about this idea of trusting or hoping in the help that comes from God. Look at what it says. Psalm 56, verse 4. And the psalmist says, in God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? Even the psalmist here in Psalm 56 is realizing the absolute power, the absolute control, the God who has no limitations, and saying, it is the one I'm trusting in. So for you and I, as we go through the difficult times, we should hope in the help that comes from God. People will fail us. Things will fail us. But God won't. That's why when the psalmist is saying, where does my help come from? My help comes from God, the maker of heaven and earth. He's pointing out this fact. I am trusting in the hope, in the help that comes from God, because He is the sovereign ruler, the one with absolute control. After seeing that, He moves on to give us the next reason why your hope and my hope should be in the help that comes from God. And many scholars, when they are looking at the psalm, they have really noticed that the first two verses actually are written in the first person. And then the last six verses actually, it's like someone is saying something to the psalmist. It's more like they are two people. The first part is said by this one, and then the next part is said by the other person to the first person. It's more like the second part is more like an assurance being given to the person who had really made this statement that my hope for help is in God. It is an assurance. And from this, we see the second reason why you and I should hope in the help that comes from God. And the second reason is this: because the Lord provides perfect care for His people. The Lord's perfect care for His people should be the reason why you and I hope in the help that comes from God. You see, I know there are well-meaning people out there who do care for us. That's why I've said perfect care is what the Lord provides. Because in most cases, these well-meaning people fail us in one way or another. But you see, there's only one who will not fail us in the provision of His care for us. That's why our hope for help should be in the Lord. Now we're going to see how the Lord provides this perfect care for his people, because he's going to describe the way the Lord provides this perfect care for his people. Firstly, how does the Lord provide this perfect care for his people? Verse 3 and 4. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. How does the Lord provide this perfect care for his people? He is ever alert, watching. Nothing slips the watchful eye of the Lord when it comes to your life and my life. He is constantly watching over you and I, such that we are seeing from verse 3 that he will not let your foot be moved. He is concerned with every aspect of our lives. He is constantly watching, seeing what is happening in your life and in my life. You see, it's not like the gods of the prophets of Baal. Because you remember the encounter Elijah had with the prophets of Baal in 1 Kings chapter 18. When Elijah is teasing them from verse 27, he said, maybe cry a bit louder. Maybe he is sleeping. Maybe he has gone on a journey. Maybe he is more like, you have to awaken him. It's like he's forgotten about you. That's not the way God relates to us. The psalmist is saying, he neither slumbers nor sleeps. He is ever watchful, looking at our lives. And there are many times we feel like we are all alone. And that's not true. Because the Lord is constantly ever alert, watching your life and my life. We are the apple of his eye. We are precious in his sight. He cares for us. He knows our lying down. He knows our sitting. He knows our rising up. He knows everything about us. He is constantly ever watchful over us. Probably you may say, but look at my situation. Look at how I have been suffering, the pain that I've been going through. Does he know? Is he aware? Yes, he does. He's very much aware. Because when we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, Paul is reminding the Corinthian believers, as well as you and I. Look at what Paul says. When he's talking about these temptations that come our way, he's saying this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, he's saying this, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. He is constantly aware of your circumstances. Probably the way you are responding to the circumstances is the wrong way. He does not bring something that is beyond our ability, and does not bring something that he does not provide a way out of. In his provision of his perfect care for us, the psalmist is saying, you should hope in the help that comes only from God, because he provides this perfect care for you by ever being watchful of your life. And then how does he provide this perfect care to us? We've seen that by ever being watchful over our lives. And also we see that he is ever shielding his people from calamities. He's providing this perfect care to us by ever shielding his people from calamities. We see this from verse 5 and 6. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. You You see, it's so funny, he has mentioned the sun and the moon. Those are the things every one of us experience their effects. It's more like he's saying, when you experience the effects of the moon and the sun, God is always shielding you that you do not experience their adverse effect, their bad effects on you. So you see, when we go through life, we know as we live in this fallen, sinful world, there are so many bad things that happen around us. The evil calamities are always around us. And God is saying, you know why? I shield you from the evil effects of this sinful world. I am ever shielding you from that. I am the one who is making you not to go through those extreme, wow, bizarre experiences of this sinful world. I am ever shielding you. That's how he provides his perfect care. You see, most cases we have really forgotten about that. We think, oh, I am safe. I have never experienced this because I am the most intelligent person. No. In his provision of his perfect care, the Lord shields his people from the evil calamities of this world. He's the one, more like the shed, he's providing the comfort. Even as we live in the sinful, wicked world, that we have not lost our minds because he provides the comfort. He provides the solace we need. It's more like the words of the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 11, where he says, come unto me and I will give you rest. Even as we live in this evil world with things unthinkable, unbearable, we can have that comfort. We can have the shade because the Lord is providing that to us. Many people have been overtaken by circumstances because they could not bear it anymore. But for those who are God's children, he is ever providing his perfect care by providing them with the comfort they need. Just like the writer of the song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, in his third stanza, he writes, how we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care, precious Savior, still our refuge, still our shade. Take it to the Lord in prayer and look at how he concludes that stanza. In his arms, he will take and shield you. You will find a solace there. It's the same language of a psalmist. He's saying, the Lord provides a shade for his people against all the calamities of this world. And they say, but how come I've gone through all this and all this and all this? How does he provide that comfort? Through his word. The promises of his word give us hope to look for a better world. We know that the evils and the afflictions of this world will not last. They will pass. They are just for a season. Through the comfort of the Holy Spirit, as we experience his loving guidance and his assurance that we are his children, we are comforted in this evil and wicked world. How does the Lord provide his perfect care? Because it's a reason we should hope in the help that comes from God. Is that in verse 7, the Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. He is ever shielding his people from all evil, keeping their lives. You see, we are always constantly being bombarded with evil. Sometimes the evil within us tends to paralyze us. Sometimes the evil around us. And even the enemy, the devil, is constantly battling with us, trying to pull us towards wickedness. And we feel like giving up. And the Lord comes and gives us a comfort that through Jesus, we have the victory against evil. And through his word, like the psalmist will say, thy word have I hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. We are being shielded from the evil. There are many people who do not know the Lord, who have not been exposed to the word of the Lord, and they do things that will bring harm to their lives. And look at this, because he's saying, he will keep your life. Evil always wants to ruin us. But the Lord, in his perfect care, he's shielding us from the evil that wants to ruin us. The evil within, the evil outside, the evil coming from this world and the devil. The Lord is providing that care to shield us from the evil. How does the Lord provide his care? The reason why we should hope in the help that comes from God is that he does not abandon us halfway. Look at what verse 8 says. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. The Lord will constantly be with you, guiding you through this life. He will provide his guidance through this life to you. And you see, most cases, that's not what happens. People give up on us easily. We become a failed project easily. When we don't meet their expectations, they turn their backs on us. But look at how the psalmist is saying, the Lord is a sure help in times of trouble because he is constantly with his own. He does not abandon them halfway. He makes sure he takes them where he wants them to be. And you see, the psalmist David would say, my father and my mother will forsake me, but the Lord will take me in. It's easy for people to forsake us, to turn their backs on us. Even those who are well-meaning people, because we do not meet their expectations. I have seen with pain fathers giving up their sons and daughters, saying, it's too much. But you see, the psalmist is saying, the Lord will keep your going out, your coming in, from this time forth and forevermore. The Lord will not abandon you halfway. He does not do that to his own. And that's a promise of scripture we have. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, we have this truth. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, he says, so we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man say to me? At the beginning of that, in verse 5, at the end of verse 5, this is the idea I wanted. I will never leave you, nor what? Nor forsake. It's a promise. You see, this idea that the Lord does not abandon his own is a comfort we find in Paul. When Paul is writing to the Philippians, look at what he says in chapter 1 of verse 6. Verse 6 of chapter 1 of Philippians. The idea that God does not abandon his own halfway. Look at what Paul is saying. It's a comfort of his life. Philippians chapter 1. Verse 6, look at what Paul says. He says this, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of what? Of Jesus Christ. He does not begin the way of redemption. He does not bring a way of a work of salvation and abandon you after. He will bring it to completion. And look at what he says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. The comfort to Paul's life. 2 Timothy. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what I have entrusted to him. He does not abandon. He does not give up.
You see, that's how the Lord provides his perfect care to his people. He is the one you and I, we can hope in his help. The help that will bring about true assurance, lasting relief, because he provides perfect care. So why should you and I look forward to the help that comes from God and nothing else? Two reasons from this psalm. Because he is a sovereign ruler, the one who is in control, with absolute power, without limitation. Secondly, because he perfectly cares for his people. How does he perfectly care for you and I? Ever watchful, ever shielding them from evils of this world, from the evils of this of life. He does not abandon them halfway. Would you trust man, or would you trust God? Would you trust in things that will really fail you and disappoint you? And this is a question really I want to ask you. Have you really thought about this? Where are you looking for help? In whatever circumstances you're going through, where are you looking for help? Are you looking for help from man or things? Or are you looking for help from the creator of the heaven and the earth, the one who perfectly cares for his people? If you look for help from things that perish, you've deceived yourself. But if you look for help in this living, true God who loves perfectly and who has absolute power and control, you will find true, lasting relief. Let's pray. Father, teach our hearts to trust you and not to look for help in things around us, but in you alone. To really imitate what is written in this psalm and confidently say, my help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth and who perfectly cares for me. Amen.